Good evening and welcome to Eroticism's weekly podcast. My name is Kevin, the erotic photographer, and I am your host. You can listen to the Eroticism podcast, talking about eroticism, fantasies, and sex here on Anchor FM, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and we were recently picked up by Reason FM and Pocket Cast. Now, originally tonight, I had planned a very, very special guest, Celine Reyes, a live Jasmine award-winning cam model from Romania. I've been working with Celine for a few years now. She went on vacation in early October, and when she came back on the 17th, she said to me, she said, "I'm considering leaving the business." And I was kind of shocked. We've been working together almost 5 years, and I never heard her talk about leaving the business, you know, so it was kind of a shock. And so she kind of is pulling out of the podcast. She's not going to do the Christmas cover, so we're going to put another model on the Christmas cover maybe. But so tonight I'm gonna take a special request. I got a message from an aspiring photographer. Now, this is a guy who just picked up as a hobby, I guess, photography in itself, and he's interested in erotic photography, and he wanted me to talk a little bit about erotic photography, boudoir photography, as we call it, in the vanilla side of the business, like for weddings and things like that. You know, we do get a lot of brides to be who want to do that special shoot for their husband, you know, but they want it to be tasteful. They don't want a porn shoot. So I'm going to just talk a little bit about what erotic photography is, and you know what it isn't, and the mistakes that some people make, you know, when they're trying to shoot eroticism and not make it look like just cheap, you know, porn. Now, it doesn't matter, and I should probably shoot myself in the head for this, but it doesn't really matter if you're shooting with your cellular phone or if you're shooting with a consumer level camera, or you're shooting with a professional camera. It doesn't matter. The concept is the same. Erotic photography isn't about, and even regular photography isn't about, owning the most expensive equipment with the latest technology and the largest format. That's not what photography is about. It's definitely not what erotic photography is about. Eroticism and erotic photography is an art form. It's a form of art. People may not look at it like that. They may say it's porn, but those are the uneducated people, so don't worry about that. Erotic photography is about the creator's eye. So you, as the photographer, you are the producer or the director of the scene. So you have to create the ambiance that you want to reflect the eroticism that you're trying to show. You know, it may be something as simple as doing a breakfast scene with a girl naked who's, you know, drinking her coffee and having her morning toast or something, or maybe a bagel for that matter. I mean, today maybe a bagel, but it could also be a very dimly lit or candle lit or special lighting effect. The whole thing with photography is what most people don't understand. Lighting is the most important aspect of photography. And the second most important aspect of photography itself is the composition of the shot. You have to, as the photographer, if you're creating for yourself, you have to decide the composition of it. And when I, in the beginning of this podcast, back in the first or second episode, I said, you know, photographers and artists, we're voyeurs. We see the model and we see the scene in a different way. And, you know, as a photographer, I may look through the viewfinder of my camera, because I don't use the LCD screen on the back, even though it has one. I don't use that. I like to look through the viewfinder. And I like to look at the model through the viewfinder, because that's the reality of what you're going to get on paper. You know, if you decide to print it out, or if you decide to use it in a editorial format, It's what you're gonna get. So I like to look through the viewfinder, and I like to see the pose that the model has. Maybe direct her a little bit to change the pose, to move a little bit in one direction. Maybe open one leg a little bit more, close the other one a little bit more. Move a hand, move an arm. But the whole thing is, this time that I am directing the model, and I'm setting up my shot, I'm looking at the whole thing. Now, before I even get into posing the model, I have to make sure that the lighting and the ambiance of the set is what I'm personally looking for. And, you know, those are the two key elements. And then, you know, we talk about flash and we talk about continuous light and all that. So the whole thing is, if you're going to use flash with your composition, you have to make sure. I mean, I know today with the digital cameras, you guys can take 100 pictures, adjusting, you can adjust your aperture, you can adjust your shutter speed, you can adjust your ISO on the fly, looking at the back of the screen to see what happened. But try setting it up and doing your lighting exactly as you would, as if you didn't have a digital camera, that you had to pay for every photo that you took. So you're gonna set your lighting up, you're gonna look at the model through the viewfinder, maybe you're gonna adjust one light this way, one light that way. And using continuous light is really an advantage, because what you can do is you can direct, you know, fixed lighting, constant lighting, what we used to call video lighting. You can actually adjust that. You can change the temperature on most of the constant lights nowadays. Whereas on a flash, you're set to, you know, flash temperature, which is 5,500 more or less, same as daylight. And so you're gonna get that kind of lighting, you know? And so if you wanted something a little bit more exotic, let's say you wanted something a little bit more red, or you wanted something a little bit more yellow, you could go and you can actually, you know, manually adjust your color temperature in the camera if you're going to use a flash. But if you're using constant lighting, fixed lighting, in the newer models, you can actually adjust the temperature of the light on the back. And so you can warm the light up a little bit. You could bump it up to maybe 6,500, or you can take it down, cool it off a little bit, drop it down to 4,000, 3,500. And all of those little changes, what they do is they affect the way your final product is going to come out. And in you know, I know photographers have that really bad habit nowadays to say, I'll fix it in post. And so, you know, the whole idea of being a photographer, being an artist, and setting up the scene is to not have to fix it in post, to have it come out perfect. Because in the old days, we didn't have the ability to, you know, to throw the negative into Photoshop and do it. And today with the digital negatives, we can throw it into Lightroom, we can put it into Photoshop, we can put it into the other programs that are out there and available to you. So don't get hung up on fixing everything in post-production. Try making sure that what you're doing is exactly what you want to come out. Now, what's the difference between erotic photography and boudoir photography? Typically, when we talk about boudoir photography, our end client is a bride, it's a girlfriend, it's a wife, who wants to give a gift to her husband or her boyfriend, or, you know, her boyfriend or her husband-to-be. And she's not looking for those, you know, really explicit shots. She's looking for very tasteful, maybe very sexy lingerie shots. And you know, you can use typically, if you don't have a studio set up for it, you can use a hotel room. And I recommend getting a hotel room that has big glass windows, floor to ceiling glass windows. And you know, check the time of day, see which way the window faces. And you know, you can actually use some of that outside light to help give a little bit more flare to your images. And we talk about lighting flare. You know, we're talking about that lighting flare that you get sometimes. Maybe you're going to use it to get a little flare on her hair. Maybe you're going to get it to just put a little flare on her boobs. You know, because sometimes they do want their breasts exposed, but maybe they'll put their fingers or their hands over their nipples. I mean, I've had all kinds of crazy requests from boudoir type photography. And erotic photography, what we're talking about is in my case, selling to an end consumer. So When I originally came out with Eroticism magazine, the whole concept was eroticism. It was erotic. It wasn't pornography. And, you know, as time went on and my type of clients, my type of models evolved from the basic, you know, hot wife, swinger, erotic model, aspiring model, who comes, you know, in and she wants to break into the eroticism market. You know, I got more porn stars, more content creators, and, you know, people started getting a little bit more explicit and doing a little bit more. So, you know, you evolve. And then when I started selling on an adult platform, you know, the magazine was available first on Skin Mags. And when I started selling there, the publishers kept saying to me, you have to have a more explicit cover. You have to have more explicit content. You have to put more videos. And what they're talking about is that the people that I compete against on Skin Mags are people like Hustler Magazine, Barely Legal, and it's all porn. It's all, you know, guy-girl penetration, girl-girl performance. And, you know, I've had girl-girl in the magazine, but in a more tasteful, you know, way, and not on video. And then, you know, we've done some masturbation scenes, we've done some masturbation videos, but we've done this with people that I work with, that trust me, and they trust my judgment and what's tasteful and what's not. And eventually, as a photographer, you know, as you evolve into photography more and more, you become more trusted. You know, clients trust you, they recommend you. And I would say that probably 90% of my business for my entire life up until about 2014, all of that was referral work. And there was a time between 2007 and 2013 that I probably shot 180 to 200 models a year. And I'm talking about strictly erotic photography, escorts, porn stars, models for the magazine. I had a lot of hot wives come in that wanted to be in the magazine. You've seen some of them, like Sexy Jets, if you've seen the magazine. Hers was absolutely the most popular selling issue in 2021, was her debut in the summer. And, you know, for some reason, and I don't, you know, she was the cover, and it wasn't an explicit cover because she was published on our new publisher platform, which doesn't permit, you know, anything exposed on the cover, because they sell on iTunes and they sell on all the other major mainstream platforms. So, you know, it was toned down and it became the hottest selling issue. And inside, you know, well, she got down to naked, you know, but they were tasteful naked shots, but they weren't erotic photography. And I felt like I was evolving away from erotic and more into porno, very well lit scenes, you know. And for me, I typically like, if you look at any of my any of the stuff on my website, or if you look at any of the stuff on my social media, you'll see that, you know, I've always done a lot of the what they call bodyscapes, you know, illuminating the model from in front of the camera, and I've done it with Studio Flash, you know. So instead of having the flash behind the photographer illuminating everything, or above the model, you know, illuminating down, the lighting is set up in front of the model, facing the camera, but obviously above the camera. And, you know, and what it does is it basically just illuminates the curves of the body. You know, and I may use a little bit of fill light on the front or back. If you look at the profile image here, you'll see that was one of the models that I did some bodyscaping with. We did shorts, we did lingerie, we did a little bit of everything. And so, yeah, you want to experiment. That's another good thing. Photographers, artists, everybody needs to experiment. I started shooting nude just because it was something that fascinated me. And I'm talking about back in the 1980s. You know, I discovered Playboy magazine back in, probably in the early 1970s. I found a stash of them in my uncle's drawer. And I was really, you know, it piqued my attention. I was a very sexual adolescent. You know, I had a very active sex life during my adolescence, which may have been a good thing, might have been a bad thing, but as soon as I started doing photography as a profession, after I finished school, and I opened my studio in Manhattan because I actually had work from an agency. So what ends up happening is I was in the middle of the prostitution area of New York City. And, you know, so my studio was right there. You know, I was coming and going constantly. I was seeing the girls out on the corner, even in front of the building where I had my loft. And so it kind of became a safe haven for the girls to come up, you know, in the summertime and cool off, and come up in the wintertime and get a warm cup of coffee. I've always had coffee on my, you know, brewing in my studio, in my home. I used to drink 3 or 4 pots of coffee a day, and in Mexico City I had a big-ass espresso machine that I used. Also in New York I had a big-ass Italian espresso machine in my studio. And so, I mean, anybody could come in. I mean, I even had cops that would stop by, and, you know, they would come in and have a cup of coffee and things, because I was pretty well-known around the area. I was, like, just above the meatpacking district and right there sort of... in that area where it was very common to find prostitution and drug sales and things. And it was, you know, if you ever needed any, you know, if you ever needed any weed, just went downstairs and you asked one of the girls to get you some. It was that easy. And I mean, it was an exciting time of my life. It really was. And so that's when it all started. I mean, it started because I was shooting a model for jeans. I was shooting this jean commercial. And the model was just incredibly dressed. And I know I told the story before, so if you listened to my first podcast, you know all about Miku and how we started doing a little bit of, you know, sensual stuff, and then a little bit of erotic, and then some full nude stuff. And it was all print back then, so everything had to be perfect. I used an analog light meter to check lighting levels, and I set my camera up based on what the lighting levels were, and I bought the film that was correct for what we were doing at the time. And I always shot in black and white because I only had room for a little bit of black and white, you know, processing equipment for my dark room. My dark room was actually in my laundry room that didn't have a washer and dryer, so it just had some tables for my processing stuff and some clothesline to hang the images and things. So, it was a very small process, but it kept it very personal, and word spread. And word spread through the girls downstairs, and word spread through, you know, the girls at the agency, that they could trust me and they would come. And then the same thing happened when I came to Mexico 26 years ago. It started with a strip club that was a front for a prostitution place, who hired me to do photography, videos, and a website remodeling, and put webcams in their thing, in their table. And so that's how it started, and I got to meet some of the girls there, and, you know, I got to meet some of the people who handled the girls, and I became the go-to guy for everything, for designing ads for newspapers for them to sell their services, and I did a lot of print advertising back in the day, and in New York even, I worked with Pushpin doing photography for some of their ads for food products and for other types of products, as well as for a couple of different agencies that brought me things like jeans and sneakers and underwear and what have you, jogging pants and sweatsuits and things like that. So it was, I mean, photography is a lot of fun. If you're going to do it for a living, I mean, I didn't start out doing it as a hobby, but I did have another job paying my way through college. I paid my way through college by working as a EMT paramedic on the ambulance in New York in St. Vincent's Hospital. So little by little in the 1970s, I finished my career. I went to a photographer's convention in New York there, and it was, you know, there where I met Melanie Reyes, who was the editor for Rolling Stone magazine, and she offered to pick me up for some you know, per diem work, which was great, you know, and I got to meet a lot of people that way as well, and also that built confidence in the other people that I worked with. So in the end, if you're going to do erotic photography, get yourself a starter kit. If you haven't bought a camera, don't buy a $10,000 camera because you think it's going to make you a good photographer. The camera doesn't make the photographer. It's learning photography that makes the photography. Learn the basics. That's what I tell everybody. Learn the basics. Learn Most importantly, lighting. That's the most important thing. Play with lighting, bend the lighting. You know, I use the phrase bend the lighting. You can do that with reflectors. You can have reflectors like I have that I bought. You can do reflectors that you make your own. Take a little cardboard wall or something and you put some reflective paper on it. You can put white paper on it. You can put white construction paper. A lot of photographers use a white wall and a black wall that's movable that you can put up. And you know, you bounce the light off the black wall and you get a more softer light. You bounce it off the white wall and you get a little bit harsher of a light, but not the same as if it was direct lighting. So you want to play with it, you want to bend it. And the good thing about the reflectors that we buy is that, you know, if you have an assistant, you know, they can bend it so that the light is focused on a specific area. And that's the key to it. You know, and I hope I answered all your questions, Frank, from Hackensack, because I know you had a lot of questions, and you know, and I told you you can email me anytime, and you know, we can talk about it in an email, we can talk about it on a Zoom chat, on Skype, whatever. If you have any questions, you want to see any examples, you can always email me, visit my website, all of my information is there, how to contact me. And I love working with aspiring models. I love working with aspiring photographers. And you know, when I'm in Texas after December 7th, I'll be in Texas between Houston and San Antonio, as well as San Padre Island. So when I'm down there, I'm going to be a lot more active and proactive. Right now, I'm in the process of moving, so I'm a little bit behind in things. I'm trying to get content uploaded and stuff. I'm cleaning hard drives here because I've got some really big Lassie hard drives here that I'm not going to take with me. I'm going to sell them because it's just too much to carry. I'm crossing by plane, and they only allow you a certain amount. So I'm selling a lot of my crap before I go. I've got a lot on my plate right now. So if you have any questions that I haven't answered for you here about, you know, the important things of erotic photography, I didn't want this to turn into a podcast about photography itself. I mean, but if anybody, you know, like Frank, has any questions that they want answered and they think it would be a good topic to discuss here on the podcast, just shoot me off an email like Frank did. Tell me what you're thinking and I'll hit you back and we'll see what we can do. And maybe even I can have you come on the show and you can bounce ideas and questions off of me that maybe a lot of people out there have. So I'm not going to diddle on much longer about this. So, I mean, just to recap, lighting, most important thing that you're going to learn in photography. Do not let anybody tell you to go out and buy a $10,000 camera, a $5,000 lens, or whatever. But after lighting, I will tell you this one tip. After lighting, the second most important investment in your photography and learning it and doing it is the lens, not the camera itself, but the lens. I can take a quality lens and I can put it on an older camera, a cheap camera, and I can get the same image result as I do with a newer camera. Now, that's not to say there's not a difference between the full frames and the mirrorless and the old styles, which were not full frame cameras. There is a difference, you know, and you know, we can get into that another time. If anybody's really interested, they can ask me about it. But yeah, you definitely, if you're going to do it, today's cameras, almost all of them are full frame, so don't worry about that. But there is a big difference in price with mirror, what they call mirrorless, which means you don't have that little mirror that flicks up and down in your digital camera like we do. It's sort of like having a video camera where the mirror is always open. And you know, you're seeing the full shot. So if you have any questions, ask, please email me. You can message me here on Anchor. There is a place to leave messages and I can also get those messages. They can be voice messages. We can even integrate them into the show. So, you know, and we can talk about it another time. Next Wednesday, I am working on a model from OnlyFans who is considering coming on the podcast. We've been talking, and I also have another content creator from the UK who is also interested in coming on the podcast. So I'm trying to organize who I'm going to have next week, because next week will be my last week physically in Mexico, and then after that I will be in the U.S. and I'll hopefully be opening up my studio there within a couple of weeks. And sometime in 2022 I'm going to be moving to Atlanta, where I'll be based out of, and then I'll be traveling all over the place. And even in the beginning of next year, January and February, I want to do a lot of snow shoots. So I'm hopefully going to be traveling up to Colorado, getting up into the areas where there's a lot of snow, and getting up to areas where I can have a model to work with. So thank you for tuning in. Until next week, I'm your host, Kevin, the erotic photographer, wishing you a great night filled with erotic fantasies and incredible sex.